you do really shape the culture of your organization. While, yes, the culture does exist, I think that far too many leaders kind of take a much more hands-off approach to shaping culture than they really should.
Branding, experience, conversation, promotion, powerful marketing, empowering small business to change their status quo. It's the Internet Show, all about small business marketing. Jay Arrett hosts the brightest minds in marketing. Power to the small business.
So if you were going to build a great company from the ground up, where would you start? What if you already had an existing business, but you felt like you need to do something to shake things up and revitalize your business? Where would you start? The answer in both of these cases would be your brand. At least that's the implication from Denise Leon's new book, What Great Brands Do. And I happen to agree. If you've read my blog or listened to this podcast for any length of time, you've heard the common theme that marketing always starts with the brand. But maybe what I haven't been as articulate in communicating is that your business starts at your brand too. Your brand is your business. How does that work? Well, I had the chance to answer these questions when I grabbed Denise Leon for a podcast slot in conjunction with a blog post I wrote about her new book, What Great Brands Do. And you can see that post over on my blog at themarketingspot.com. If you're listening to this audio feature on my blog, you're actually listening to my Power to the Small Business podcast. And you can subscribe and catch all previous episodes of Marketing Know-How at powertothesmallbusiness.com. So let's get together with Denise Leon and see how we can stop referring to two different things and start thinking of them as one, brand and business, while we find out what great brands do. And welcome to the show, a voice in marketing that I respect a whole bunch, and I'm so pleased to have her on the show. Would you please go ahead and introduce yourself?
Hi, Jay and listeners. My name is Denise Leon. I'm a consultant, speaker, and author, most recently of the new book, What Great Brands Do. Thanks for having me with you on your program today, Jay.
Well, I'm so glad that we get to have you, Denise. And, of course, you've been on the program before. It's been a few years.
I know. I'm a double dipper.
You are. There's so few of you, too. I've only had a few people on more than once, but you are one of them. So thanks for joining us. And I'm really enjoying your book, going through it right now. Got an advanced copy last week and in preparation for our talk today. And it's like, wow, I wish I had been the one who wrote this book because it's really great stuff. Just tell me briefly what it's about. What great brands do? What is this book?
It's the result of years of personal passion and research and analysis on what some of the world's greatest brands do. You know, I have been fascinated by brands for a long time and had the privilege of working on some of the world's greatest ones, everything from Sony to Frito-Lay and Burger King. But what I found in my research is that all of these brands have some things in common, most fundamentally a different way of thinking about and going about building their brands. And so this book represents the 7 brand building principles that comprise What Great Brands Do.
Well, let's first lay a little bit of a foundation, if you don't mind. Define a brand for me, because marketers throw that term around a lot. What is your definition of a brand?
You know, and it's funny because I think it is one of those terms that everyone has their own definition. I view a brand as a bundle of values and attributes that define the value, the unique value that you as an organization represent to your customers, and that defines the way that you operate as an organization. And while many people might think of a brand as a name or a logo or a tagline, those are simply expressions of those of that bundle of values and attributes I just described.
Right, a little memory hook that we can all hang those brand attributes on.
Exactly.
Keep it all organized in our mind. Well, the central theme of your book and your blog, for that matter, for those who read your blog for the past several years, is brand as a business. Explain that concept to me. What does that mean?
What I found is that great brands don't delineate between their brands and their businesses. They're one and the same. They have a central defining set of values and attributes they use to run their business by, to shape their culture, to drive their core operations, and to inform the customer experiences. And those values and attributes are the same things that they then express and communicate in their brand marketing activity. So brand as business is simply saying your brand is your business, and vice versa.
That brings up the question of then, what is the role of the marketing department or the CMO or who's ever in charge of the marketing for a brand? Because typically when you say branding, it's like, hey, let's call in the marketing department. We need them. We need some branding. We need some brand building. But in fact, you say in your book that brand building can't be delegated to your marketing department.
Right.
If your brand is your business, what is the role of the marketer in all this?
I think it's important to delineate brand and branding and brand building from marketing. Both are very important to an organization, but they are different. And I do believe that leadership and stewardship of the brand needs to be held at the highest levels of the organization. Because as you just mentioned, if your brand is your business, you need to be running your business, you know, with your brand, and therefore the chief executive officer, president, CEO, whomever has that responsibility needs to be responsible for the brand. Now, at the same time, there is a lot of marketing strategies, programs, and tactics that are an integral part of building that brand, and that's what the chief marketing officer and the marketing department would be responsible for. So when you think about you're driving your brand into your culture, core operations, and customer experiences, you know, part of your customer experiences, or a very large part of your customer experiences, are your marketing programs, whether that be campaigns that you're running, whether it be special promotions, special services that you might offer in conjunction with your product. And all of those things are important aspects for the marketing department to be responsible for and really drive and own.
So, Denise, I just recently had Gareth Kay as a guest on my podcast. I don't know if you know him or not, but he was at Goodby Silverstein, and he just struck out to a new office called Zeus Jones. And his contention was, and I want to pass this by you because it dives into what we're talking about here, is that the CMO or the marketer is maybe they need a seat at the table where they're not separated or siloed off into a different department, but they need to be integrated consistently and constantly into really the operations of the business itself.
Absolutely. I think that marketing needs to be integrated with sales, with operations, with a service, with human resources. You know, all of these things are different aspects of how you build your brand. And I really don't see how you could operate them separately and expect to build a great brand. So I do see the need for integration as well as alignment, and those kinds of things don't just happen. You really need to be very intentional. So from an organizational standpoint, what you're suggesting makes a lot of sense.
Okay, well, let's get in a little bit on how to do that, because you talk about at the very beginning of the book, if you're going to have a brand as a business, then you need to operationalize the brand. So that's a kind of a big word also, operationalizing the brand. What do you mean by that, and how do you operationalize a brand?
The best way to understand operationalizing your brand is to contrast it to expressing or promoting your brand. When you express or promote your brand, you are talking about or communicating about that bundle of values and attributes I just talked about. So your advertising campaign or your social media program, those are expressing and promoting your brand. Operationalizing means actually building it and using your brand as a guide and a compass for all activities of your core operations, whether that be product development, whether that be determining what kinds of services you're going to offer, what target segments you're going to pursue, how you're going to design every aspect of a customer experience so that you provide a very seamless brand experience throughout it all. When you operationalize your brand, you are putting it to use. You're making your brand operational, not just something you talk about, something that you do.
Right. We tend to say, oh, we've got the brand, and it's separate from manufacturing, it's separate from hiring. You know, your brand is your brand, and it's just one function. But with you, there is no distinction. And in fact, I think you said, what is that quote I'm looking for in your book?
It's something like, if you can't see any daylight between what you say and what you do, you are operationalizing your brand, or you're doing brand as business. And you know, Jay, it's interesting. According to a study by the Association of National Advertisers, they surveyed chief marketing officers and marketing directors of a range of companies, and 64% said that their brands did not influence decisions at their company. Their brands influenced, like, the communication elements, but they didn't influence the business strategies.
Yeah.
And so when I read that statistic, that was shocking to me, because that means that there are, you know, nearly two-thirds of companies out there are pouring millions of dollars and time and energy into communicating a brand, but then they're not aligning what they're actually doing with that message, or vice versa.
Well, I don't think it's any wonder then why what's the statistics? Most Americans would be happy if 4 out of 5 brands disappeared tomorrow. I've just seen that recently. 5% of Americans believe that brands, only 5% of Americans believe that brands make a noticeable positive contribution to their lives. And because it's like you say, and you point out in your book, the brand doesn't lead. If businesses would just go ahead and go with that, they would have so much more meaning than they really do than just selling a product.
Right, and they would attract the kind of loyal followings as devoted to Apple as they would be a religion, or why people line up for hours to get an In-N-Out burger. Or I think that when you have a strong brand, you generate a fan base that truly loves your brand, and then more importantly, they're buying your product and paying more for your product, so you're generating higher profit margins and running a more profitable business as a result.
So one of the challenges, Denise, when we read a book like yours, What Great Brands Do, is we have all these great concepts, and you lay it out very methodically and logically on what great brands do and how you can implement this and operationalize it in your own business. But there's the big challenge is that, hey, we already have a business and we're already doing things a certain way. And now we have to do things a different way, and I'm sure you see it as a consultant, Denise. How tough is that for people to say, okay, we haven't been doing it this way, now we're going to start doing it this way?
You know how they say admitting that you have a problem, that's the first step to find a solution. Certainly that applies in business and in this type of situation, where I think it takes an enlightened leader or team of people to realize that there is a lack of alignment between what they're saying and what they're doing, and at the same time have the aspiration to have a great brand. But there are, you know, some very specific things that I think as an organization you can do to create this interest and desire to become or to adopt the branded business management approach. And one of them is to use one of the tools that I introduce in my book, What Great Brands Do, is a brand tool, a brand touchpoint wheel. And the brand touchpoint wheel is a visual representation of all of the points of contact between the outside world and your brand. And so you can kind of imagine maybe like a circular diagram where you have all of the touch points on the outside of the circle, and then as spokes emanating out from the center of the wheel, your brand, are the different departments or functions or teams that influence those individual touch points. And once you assemble a brand touchpoint wheel for your organization, it becomes very obvious that marketing and advertising only plays a very small role in shaping brand perceptions and actually delivering the brand values and attributes that you aspire to. When we put together a brand touchpoint wheel at Sony, when I was working with them, there were over 240 touch points, not including all of the millions of products Sony had, but, you know, just 240 touch points, and fewer than 30 of them were advertising or marketing related. The remainder were sales touch points, corporate touch points, service touch points, etc. And so that can be a valuable tool to open people's eyes to the importance of using your brand to shape everything that you do.
Well, let's tackle that a little bit, because your first chapter talks about what great brands do by starting inside and not not focusing on ideas and narratives, but really on the culture that eventually is experienced by the customers. So as a starting point, you want to cultivate a strong corporate culture or a business culture. If it's not a big corporation, what's the starting point for doing that? How do you start working on culture? Doesn't culture already exist?
Yes. As a leader, your responsibility is to shape it, though. And the most important way that you can shape a culture is to be very clear about your purpose and your values. And again, I wouldn't separate your brand purpose and values from your corporate purpose and values. They really are one and the same. But if you are crystal clear about why you exist, you know, what is the unique value that you are bringing to the world? What are the values or core beliefs that guide your decisions and guide what you do? If you're very clear about that and you communicate that regularly to folks, you engage your folks with that, you motivate and reward folks based on that, you do really shape the culture of your organization. While, yes, a culture does exist, I think that far too many leaders kind of take a much more hands-off approach to shaping culture than they really should.
You talk about that in the book about getting buy-in from everybody, and not just getting buy-in, but really kind of doing some culture training, right? I don't know if I'm using the right word there, but...
Yeah, I call it brand engagement because, you know, it's one thing to say our brand stands for this, but it's another thing to expect people to understand what you're saying, embrace it, and then understand their role in appropriately interpreting and reinforcing it. And again, I think that you know, the mistake that I see a lot of company leaders make is they assume that's all going to happen. If I just say, you know, our brand is going to be, you know, fun and surprising, everyone knows what I mean, and let's go for it. And the problem is that people need very specific information. They need to understand it for themselves. And again, they need to understand their specific role in bringing that brand to life. So I strongly recommend you create a brand toolbox, which is a collection of tools that help people understand your brand, an explanation of your strategy, examples, etc. And then you run brand engagement sessions, and there's a whole range of different kinds of exercises and activities you could have in these brand engagement sessions. But the overarching objective of these sessions is to get people to really, you know, dig into the brand, ask questions, challenge what it means, challenge why it exists, and then also think about, in their specific area of responsibility, what do we need to start doing in order to support this? What do we need to stop doing that's detracting from it? And what do we need to continue doing? And really kind of lay out a plan for themselves or for their teams or departments based on that brand as the guiding principle.
One of the powerful things about going through this entire process, Denise, is going through these brand engagement sessions with your current employees. But from this point forward, what you now have is kind of a guide to hiring employees too, don't you?
Absolutely. And, you know, oftentimes the work that I do is very integrated with the human resources recruiting efforts, because you want to be attracting the kinds of employees that really believe in what you're doing and can contribute to what you're doing because they have that kind of, they share your values, they share them, your mindset, or at least they understand and want to be a part of it.
Well, Denise, let's talk about something that's a little challenging for most businesses to grasp, because when you ask a business, hey, what business are you in? Or tell me about your business. A lot of times, or I would say most of the times, the vast majority of the time, they fall back on some descriptor from their industry, like I'm a marketing consultant, or they say, well, I sell marketing plans, or whatever they're selling. So they use some sort of descriptor like that to describe their business. But in your book, you say, hey, great brands don't sell products. And if they don't sell products, my question is, Denise, what do we sell then?
Right. Well, certainly there's a transaction of something that you are offering and someone else is taking, but I would suggest that the product is only a part of that, and there's a real emotional connection that you as a, you know, brand or an organization or as a service provider want to make with your customer. You know, people make purchase decisions based on how something they're buying is going to make them feel, or how that thing that they're buying is going to, the identity that thing that they're buying is going to help them either experience or express. And so if you understand that as a brand, you start selling on the basis of that emotional connection and that identity experience, as opposed to, you know, here are the things that I do, or here are my product features, or here's the technology or ingredients in my product. Those things often support the more fundamental value that you're offering to your customers.
How tough is that, Denise, for an existing business to do? Because you are a consultant, so you talk with these businesses. You want to start talking about emotional connections and self-identity of the customer. I can see from an entrepreneur's perspective that that's pretty tough. How do you get these businesses, these corporations, and the entrepreneur, the CEO, to say, okay, what are these emotional connections we should be looking for? What is the self-identity we should be aiming for with our customers?
Sometimes it's helpful just to go back to your roots. If the founder is still involved in the organization, I think having some deep conversations about why the business started in the first place, I think, can be very revealing. I think if you kind of peel the onion back, why did you start this business? What need were you hoping to fill? How did you want to impact people's lives as a result of you starting this business? I think that's a great way to mine what the emotional connections can are. There's also the role of interacting with your customers, and through various research techniques, you can really get a better sense of, you know, underneath the you know, widget that they're paying $5 for, what is it they're really getting? And I think that through some like anthropologically oriented research methodologies, you can definitely get at that. But then I also, in my book, What Great Brands Do, I introduce several exercises or tools that I've used with my clients. And one of them is a little bit maybe a little bit interesting. I've heard some feedback from folks that I suggest that you engage in an exercise to write your brand obituary. In essence, you imagine what would happen. You imagine your brand as a person and imagine that the person has died. And then you ask yourself a series of questions based on, what did this person leave behind? What's the hole that needs to be filled now that this person no longer exists? What was their greatest contribution they made while they were living? And while it's a little bit, morbid to think about your brand dying, I think that it actually really reveals, I think, very fundamentally, the feelings and the value that you as a brand represent. So it can be very clarifying.
The book is called What Great Brands Do, The 7 Brand Building Principles That Separate the Best from the Rest. Denise, if we want to find out more about this book, get more information about you and what you do, where can we look online?
Sure. You can go to my website, and you actually have two options for the URL. You can put in my name, DeniseLeeYon.com, and that's DeniseLeeYon. YOHN.com, or you can put in whatgreatbrandsdo.com, and that'll lead you right to the book section of my site where you can learn more about the book, you can find out where to purchase it, you can see the special offers that I have where you can buy books in bulk and also get consultation from me, and then you can also download some of the materials that are featured in the book there.
Wow.
I'd also love to engage with you on Twitter, which I engaged with folks like you, Jay, on Twitter, and my Twitter handle is Denise Lee Yon. So all of those ways are great ways to learn more and get in touch, and I would love to interact with you.
Okay, cool. We will post all those links in the show notes at powertothesmallbusiness.com, also on themarketingspot.com in the blog. Hey, Denise, appreciate you renting out your brain to us here for a little bit. And all the great stuff you put in this book. Thanks for joining us on The Big Show.
Thank you, Jay. You asked some great questions. I've enjoyed speaking with you.
All the show notes and links can be found at the podcast site, powertothesmallbusiness.com. Remember to also check out my blog and other free recorded webinars at themarketingspot.com. And I'll catch up with you in 2 more weeks with another bright marketing mind on the podcast that's all about small business marketing, Power the Small Business.
You've been listening to Power to the Small Business with Jay Arendt, the internet show exclusively about small business marketing. Please see the complete show notes at themarketingspot.com. You can also listen to the show online and subscribe in iTunes at powertothesmallbusiness.com. Never miss an episode of the internet show all about small business marketing. Power to the small business.
Our thanks to Mary Lynn Foster of The Big Success Show for the opening and closing credits of the podcast. You can find Mary Lynn at The Big Success Podcast, BIGGSuccess.com.